From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. A coalition of healthcare providers is suing the state to block cuts to Medi-Cal, scheduled to take effect July 1st. The governor's called for across-the-board budget cuts of 10% to tackle the state's multi-billion dollar deficit. The Sacramento Bee reports today California could run out of cash by August. But Paul Lofholm of the California Pharmacists Association says a 10% cut would be catastrophic for the 6.5 million people Medi-Cal serves.
Pharmacists will be unable to purchase brand-name drugs or dispense those drugs because the reimbursement rates are less than what it costs to buy the drug.
The California Medical Association warns many doctors will simply refuse to see Medi-Cal patients. No comment yet from the Schwarzenegger administration. Officials say they have to review the complaint first. A little budgetary relief to report for the state's community college students. San Francisco's Bernard Osher Foundation is expected to commit $50 million today for a permanent scholarship endowment. That translates to more than 1,000 annual scholarships worth $1,000 each. The donation is believed to be the biggest ever for a public two-year system in the country. When federal scientists found dangerous levels of formaldehyde in FEMA trailers after Hurricane Katrina, environmentalists in California began wondering where else the chemical could be found. Turns out formaldehyde fumes can be found in nearly every home, including in baby nurseries. Sarah Varney reports on a green chemistry initiative to limit chemical exposures.
Cribs and changing tables are often made from compressed wood that contains formaldehyde-based glue. The group Environment California bought 21 nursery furnishings at Walmart, Target, and Babies R Us. An independent lab tested the products and found all gave off some level of formaldehyde. Several emitted vapors at levels researchers have shown put children at greater risk for developing allergies or asthma.
Unfortunately, I think the public believes that the government's protecting us and that chemicals are tested just as a prescription drug is tested before it's allowed to come onto the market.
Rachel Gibson is with Environment California, the group that sponsored the testing.
What is happening now is that chemicals are presumed safe until they're proven dangerous.
In the early 1990s, the state of California declared formaldehyde a known carcinogen. And last month, state air regulators lowered the limit for formaldehyde emissions from compressed wood. Under that rule, some of the cribs and changing tables tested could likely not be sold in California. But the new rule doesn't ban formaldehyde in wood products. That's not the case in the European Union or Japan, where formaldehyde-based glues are, for the most part, not allowed, says UC Berkeley professor Mike Wilson. Wilson authored the landmark report that helped launch California's Green Chemistry Initiative.
As the rest of the world moves ahead with these really new and more protective chemicals policies, the U.S. risks becoming a dumping ground of sorts for those materials that are barred for sale in those regions.
Wilson proposes that instead of regulating chemicals one by one, California should encourage industry to use safer chemicals in the first place. In the case of formaldehyde, the state could require or encourage glue makers to use an alternative, says Maureen Gorson. She's director of the California Department of Toxic Substances Control.
The crux of green chemistry is the idea that in the lab, when you're designing the molecules and the things that you're putting in products and the design of the products themselves, you're thinking about the whole multimedia life cycle environmental impact of making that product.
A draft of the state's new green chemistry policy is slated to be released next week. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
The Central Valley is one of the hot spots for methamphetamine labs in California. Drug enforcement teams there have successfully shut down hundreds of meth labs in recent years, pushing a lot of the production to Mexico. But now rural cops say they fear a resurgence in meth because they're running out of money from a key federal grant. Sasha Coca reports.
Officers from the Fresno Meth Task Force make a point of checking back in on places where they've busted big labs. They've learned that drug manufacturers sometimes return to the same remote locations to set up their kitchens.
Wherever you think we can get a good advantage, we'll take a look and see what we can see at this property.
On this day, two different officers from two different agencies are sitting in an unmarked black pickup, peering through binoculars at a farmhouse nestled in the middle of a grape vineyard.
You can see that we're just in the middle of nowhere. So if you were manufacturing meth in that farmhouse in the basement at 3 in the morning, you can see there's nobody around you for a mile and a half.
Bob Pennell is commander of the Fresno Meth Task Force. He works for the State Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement. He and Detective Tim Herzog from the Fresno County Sheriff's Department have noticed some new occupants in the abandoned farmhouse where they busted a lab 2 years ago.
One of the areas they were cooking was in the children's room, and these little kids were being exposed to this.
The Fresno Meth Task Force relies on cooperation between several different agencies and federal funds to help them coordinate. California gets more of this money than any other state. The grants, known as Burn Justice Assistance Grants, fund some 70 interagency drug and gang task forces up and down the state. But now the Bush administration, a proponent of the war on drugs, has angered law enforcement by dramatically slashing about two-thirds of federal burn grant funding this year. In California, that could mean as many as 20 task forces around the state may have to disband, says Ron Brooks. He heads up the National Narcotics Officers Association based in Santa Clarita.
We understand that there's only so many dollars to go around. You know, in Washington, D.C., it's easy to talk about these issues in theoretical terms. But for my members, you know, these are real life issues. Our members that have to tell a parent that they just lost a child due to a drug overdose.
Every major national law enforcement organization and all 50 attorneys general have petitioned Congress and the Bush administration to restore the funding. But they face an unusual coalition of opponents from both the right and the left. Conservative taxpayer groups and some drug reform advocates say the feds shouldn't be footing the bill for local law enforcement. Bill Piper is director of national affairs for the Drug Policy Alliance.
It really has brought the left and the right together. You know, a fundamental issue of what the federal government should be funding. You know, a strong case could be made that, you know, the federal government, if it's going to be spending money, should be spending it on things that are truly national in scope.
Not helping local law enforcement fight meth. But Senator Dianne Feinstein argues meth is a national problem worthy of federal resources. She's leading a coalition of 55 senators pushing to get the Drug Task Force money restored. They're trying to attach it to a wartime appropriation bill, but like most domestic programs attached to war spending, the drug grant program faces the risk of a veto. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, May 6th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California, on the web at calhospitalcompare.org, and the Wesley Foundation, for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.